Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to start the show today by talking with you about patellofemoral syndrome. It's pain in the front of the knee and around the kneecap. It's also called jumper's knee or runner's knee. And we'll be talking about that to kick off our show today with our two guests, Jill Tyne Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne Brody. Jill, an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program. Jill, good to see you.
It's great to be here.
And Lori Tyne Brody is a physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. Lori, good to see you, too.
It's great to be here.
So, what would you like to know about treating runner's knee? Maybe you've got another physical therapy question you'd like us to deal with. I hope you'll join in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, what's this patellofemoral?
Yes. Say that five times fast.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jill, are you going
to
do it?
I'm happy to talk about it. So, patellofemoral pain is pain in the front of your knee, as you mentioned, typically around or behind your kneecap. And it's very common for people to have a bout of this at some point in their life, whether it's when they increase their running, increase some jumping. If you have a little bit of arthritis back there, prolonged sitting can actually aggravate your symptoms. So one of the most recent documents that has come out is something called the Clinical Practice Guidelines. And we have these guidelines for other very common physical therapy diagnoses, such as plantar fasciitis, low back pain, shoulder impingement.
Sure.
But most recently, they came out with these recommendations for patients with patellofemoral pain. And the nice thing about these is experts in the field scour the literature and come to consensus on diagnosis and treatment for this condition. And they actually grade things, give things a letter grade, like an A, B, C, D. And then the document is made public. And so other clinicians, as well as the public, can look at this and see, oh, what interventions are best used to treat my patellofemoral pain.
And it's important to realize that there are a number of different problems that can occur around your kneecap. So for those that are wondering about the name, patella is the medical name for your kneecap, and femoral is the end of the femur bone below your kneecap. So patellofemoral pain is generally pain that has to do with usually wear and tear or poor tracking of your kneecap. But there are other problems that can occur around your kneecap that are not patellofemoral pain, such as patellar tendonitis or jumper's knee. That's a whole different bear than patellofemoral pain syndrome.
Well, a lot of people have had kneecaps on their brain recently with Kristen Yelich.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can have patellar fractures as well.
Exactly. So that patellar fracture, and again, I don't know the details about his condition, but anytime you have a fracture, you lay down scar tissue, right? That's what your body's job is to do, to heal that back together. If he would lay down excessive scar tissue on the backside of his patella when he did some squatting or went to rise from a chair, he may experience patellofemoral pain. And that's a very common symptom of patients with patellofemoral pain. They have pain with prolonged sitting. It was actually traditionally called theater knee or moviegoer sign, because if you sat for a long time in a movie theater, the undersurface of your kneecap would ache. Prolonged driving.
Radio broadcasters.
Radio broadcasters. Exactly.
Going downstairs.
Yeah.
Or going from sit to stand in a chair. Those are some of the classic times people notice their patellofemoral pain.
So Kristen Yelich is likely to get some fairly expensive medical.
Oh yeah,
I believe he'll be very well cared for.
Right, exactly. We don't know the specifics of the fracture, but one of the interesting things about the patella is compared to other kinds of fractures. So, say you fracture a bone in your leg. When you stand on it, you're going to compress the ends of that fracture together. In contrast, with the patella, depending upon the direction or the fragmentation of that, you actually pull it apart because the patella is embedded in the tendon of your quadriceps. So it's attached down at your tibia, at the distal end, and then at the proximal end is the origin of the big, strong quadriceps muscles. So when he uses those muscles, he's actually pulling traction on that fracture.
And the reality of it is, if, like Lori talked about, if you have a fracture, let's say, in your tibia or your femur, and if it's a stable fracture, weight bearing on it is actually a good thing. It promotes healing. So it approximates those ends and it kind of stimulates bone health.
So what about the rest of us who are not in his situation? Christian Yelich, certainly I will talk about myself. I'm not in anywhere close to his ability or in shape as he is. So what's the average person going to do when they have a problem with this patellofemoral syndrome?
Well, the first thing is you'll see your physical therapist and they'll figure out the underlying cause of that. So not everybody has the same cause for patellofemoral pain, and so your treatment may differ. A while ago, well, quite a while ago now, there was an article in the New York Times.
Oh, yes.
Where one of the reporters went to five different physical therapists with knee pain and got five different treatment programs. But one of the key factors is figuring out the underlying cause. So, for example, in the winter, we see it all the time. If you fell and landed on your kneecap and had a kneecap contusion that created patellofemoral pain, we would treat that differently than someone who has, for example, a hypermobile patella. They would need a different choice from this menu of treatment options versus somebody who has hypomobility, for example, if they have stiffness and arthritis in their knee.
Right. So one of the research that came back that was graded a grade A, which, and this has been a shift. When I first graduated from PT school 20 years ago, we never considered this, but in treating patients with patellofemoral pain, the exercise program really needs to target not only the knee, but looking at the position of the hip. And we have found that treating the hip and making sure that there's adequate strength in the hip muscles has actually can decrease patellofemoral pain significantly. And that has to do with how much control basically those hip muscles have over the rotation of your femur. So that's a big factor.
How do you strengthen your hip?
Well, there's all sorts of strengthening exercises for your gluteus medius, which is the muscle on the side of your hip. And so there are exercises such as clams.
Bird dogs.
So you're looking like trying to look like a bird dog?
Bridges. Yes. Yeah. Well, you're in all four. Yeah. Yes. More or less. One arm forward, one arm back. Fire hydrants with your knee bent and you lift your leg out to the side. Usually what happens is the physical therapist will try a series of different strengthening exercises. For example, for someone who, let's say they have fairly acute patellofemoral pain, they may not tolerate kneeling, so being in an all-fours position. So that would rule out all the strengthening exercises on your hands and knees.
Right.
So then we would go a different direction and do different strengthening exercises, for example, in standing. For some people, as they bend their knee and they increase the compressive load of the patellofemoral joint, they need to start with things where the leg is straight. Other people may be able to do things with a bent knee, for example, bridging or clams.
Right.
So that's why we can't really say, oh, do exercise A, B, C, and D, because it may vary from one person to the next. We go through a series of different exercises and find the group that works best for that individual.
But having said what Lori said about the group of exercises, one of the things that the research did show that combining the interventions, so if your patient has flat feet and you think that's a contributing factor, combining the exercises with shoe inserts, other devices is exponentially better. But the keystone, the number one part of any rehabilitation program is truly the exercise therapy. It's the designed exercise program, the exercises that your physical therapist selects for you to do based on what presents in front of them. That's really the keystone, are the exercises.
There we go. Well, let's take some calls. By the way, you can join in if you have a question or comment. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org. ideas@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Nigel O'Shea, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, and Stephanie Hoff, our producers. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at all kinds of physical therapy issues today, all those aches and pains and sprains and strains with our two guests, Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along. Join in with your own questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@WPR.org. And another listener had an IT syndrome problem.
Sure. The iliotibial band, and many people are familiar with this, so have heard this, and say, oh, I have IT band problems, is a thick band of tissue that runs from your hip musculature down the outside of your thigh. And it is related to patellofemoral problems because there are bands of tissue that run from your iliotibial band to your kneecap, and they can help pull it to the outside and interfere with its normal tracking ability.
Right. And so depending on where your symptoms present with your IT band syndrome, they can present at your hip more as the IT band rubs over your greater trochanter, or they can present more distally, as Lori said, around knee pain. So one of the things you would want to do is make sure that if it is indeed the IT band that's a contributing factor, is make sure that the muscles on the outside of the leg are strong enough to support your leg, especially in single limb stance. So when you're standing, your opposite hip should not drop. If your opposite hip drops while you're standing, that implies that you have hip weakness of your lateral structures on your standing leg. So that would definitely be something that a therapist would look for and make sure that that patient has adequate hip strength. The other thing is people many times say, well, I need to stretch my IT band. And the IT band in and of itself is a very dense fibrotic tissue. So we will have people use the foam roller on their IT band and roll on it. But whether they're stretching it or just kind of gating pain or changing their neurophysiologic response is kind of up for debate.
Let's take some calls here. Ken in Wheeler will give you a chance now. Hi, Ken.
Hi there. I got x-rays done at the VA of my knees because I complained of pain. And they sent me a report naming all different kinds of things that were showed wear and tear.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a note in there that said there's some indication of Pellegrini-Strieda syndrome.
Pellegrini-Strieda.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is that, anyway?
That's a very unusual condition that goes with it. In the meantime, did they talk about you having tricompartmental DJD?
No.
So what kind of symptoms were you having that brought you in to have your knee looked at in the first place? Are you having pain, swelling, catching, locking?
I have soreness walking up and down stairs, also getting up from a sitting to a standing position.
Yep.
Okay.
And where is your pain? Is it in the front of your knee, the back, inside, outside?
It's on the side.
On the side? Okay. Are you getting any swelling?
Not that I can tell.
Okay. Well, it sounds like, so you can have arthritis. They call it tricompartmental. That's why Jill asked that. You have three compartments in your knee, the inside, the outside, and then the patellofemoral compartment, or sometimes it's called the anterior compartment. And that's the part that we were talking about today. And you have some of the classic symptoms where it hurts on stairs and going and coming up from sit to stand. You can also have those symptoms with your main compartment, osteoarthritis. What did they suggest doing about it?
Well, they suggested that if I had any, my pain was not extreme. I told them that was just annoying mostly.
Yep.
And they said if it got worse, then come back and they would do some more work.
So have they referred you to physical therapy?
No, they didn't.
Okay. Well, I would request that, because you don't want to wait for it to get so bad that you require a lot of intervention, such as injections or further imaging. So I would request a referral to physical therapy, and they can show you some exercises to help strengthen the muscles around your knee. So an effective quadriceps, that is the big muscles in the front of your knee, if they're working effectively, they can offload up to 60% of the what we call the ground reaction forces, or the forces that you hit the ground with every time you take a step. And that take some of the load off of your joint. So for people who are getting arthritic changes in their knee, having really strong thigh and hip muscles can slow the progress.
Helps a lot.
It helps a great deal. So
there you go. Good luck, Ken. Thank you so much for calling. Just along this patellofemoral topic here, David in Wanakee emailed to say he uses a Velcro strip around his leg, and it helps prevent pain, and he was just wondering why that would be the case.
A Velcro strip.
Well, it depends upon where around his leg it is. So there are some people who use a strap around their patellar tendon, like right under, not underneath, but distal, farther, just under,
between your kneecap and where your quads attach to your
So for
tibia.
People who have a patellar tendinopathy, it's like it creates a new insertion for the tendon. So it's like using one of the tennis elbow straps, except you're using it at your knee.
All right.
It may also slightly change his tracking. So if he has arthritis or some wear and tear under a specific portion of his kneecap, it may change the tracking just slightly so that it offloads that part of his kneecap. But somehow he figured out that that was
great
work for him. Right. I don't know how he figured it out, and it helps. And so
well,
good for him.
Maybe
you
talk to a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he asked Dr. Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be too. Alice in Rice Lake, we'll go to you now. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Okay, I'm calling about my left knee. It is not the patella. It's the outside and just below. And I can walk, I can sit, I can stand. But when I do yoga and try to get into the child's pose, which is supposed to be relaxing, I simply can't do that because it just can't handle that pressure on the floor or on my mat. I try to wear one of those pull-on braces that has a hole for the kneecap.
Yep, yep.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, so I'm just wondering. I haven't gone to a doctor about this at all.
So where exactly are your symptoms, Alice?
When you get into that full pose? Child's pose, where does it hurt?
It hurts just below the kneecap to the left, and it's the part that touches the floor. Or the, you know, whatever surface you're on, and it just, I can't do it.
Okay. Have you tried putting a little towel or something underneath your tibia? I mean, just below your knee so that your knee itself doesn't touch the mat?
Can you? No, I haven't.
Yeah. Okay. No. So it's hard to tell if it is the compression and of the full flexion of your knee, because when you flex your knee fully or bend it back as far as it goes, you compress a lot of the structures in your knee. So if you have, for example, a little degenerative meniscal tear somewhere in your knee, you really compress that and it can be painful. If it's where it touches the floor, it may be pressing on a little bone spur that you have on your tibia or on the end of your femur. So I'd try changing the point of contact with the floor from your knee a little bit farther down so that you take a towel roll or something and put it under both your knees, just below your kneecap so that your knees itself don't touch the mat, and see if that helps.
That's worth a try for sure.
Yeah, and the other thing to know, whether it's because she's kneeling on the floor or because it's a full squat, is just, you know, use your arms to support you and get in a full squat position without resting your tibias on the floor and see if that recreates your pain. And if that would recreate her pain, that would tell me it's coming from inside her knee joint, not externally where she's bearing weight. So she can be a little single subject study and figure that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Sherlock Holmes it.
Exactly.
Alice, thank you very much for calling. Let's take another call. Jan in Madison, we're on to you now. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have one small area medial to my kneecap, and when I put my hand around it, I can isolate the spot with my thumb. And it hurts like when I get up from the toilet.
Yeah? Out of a chair or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. So it's probably, is it very pinpoint tender, and does it feel like a tiny little piece of spaghetti sometimes, Jan?
No, it's about the area of a half dollar, silver dollar.
Oh, a silver dollar. Okay. It's still probably, my best guess is it's probably have a little bit of plica syndrome. And plica is when your knee forms embryologically. It starts as three sacs and it forms into one fluid capsule. And where those sacs come together, you have seams, basically, for lack of better terms. Some people have bigger seams than others. And that seam can actually rub against your femur bone, and it can get irritated, especially when you go from sit to stand. So that would be my first guess as to what it is.
The other issue is it could potentially be a fat pad issue. So underneath your patellar tendon is actually fairly large fat pad. And the size of the fat pad doesn't have really anything to do with your body weight, but it really fills in the space behind your patellar tendon along with a couple of bursa. So that could be causing some aggravation as well. Does it bother you a lot?
At times, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, if it's getting annoying, I would see somebody and have them do a good exam and see if there's a couple strategies they can give you for dealing with this before the frequency of it bothering you increases.
Right.
Good luck. Thank you so much for calling, Jan. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Tim in New Berlin, your turn now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I have knee pain. I have patella pain in my right knee, and I've never had a knee issue, I've never had a knee injury. And a few months back, I noticed this big rock, if you will, in my hamstring. I had an MRI done, and they said I had a bad ski injury about 40 years ago, and it was a hamstring tear. They said that the blood maybe pooled up in my hamstring, and now it's this calcified rock.
Yep.
So about the same time, just about 6 months ago, I started getting pain in my right knee. And lately, I've noticed it's the same kind of pain. Is it possible there's nothing wrong with my knee, that it's just radiating down from my hamstring?
No, it's
probably the weakness in your hamstring and the lack of mobility or flexibility in your hamstring. If you lay down a big wad of scar tissue, that's causing you to have increased compressive forces when you use your knee, when you go to straighten your knee or extend your knee. That's probably causing the patellofemoral pain.
Who knows? And when you think about the initial injury, you know, you had a severe enough injury where you developed this pool of blood, and it probably ossified. It's called myositis ossificans. And now it's possible, depending upon the location and size of that it's also pressing on some tissues that extend all the way down into your knee. So it could be related, but indirectly. Indirectly related. So I would treat the patellofemoral issues as a separate issue, realizing or within the context of what you have going on in your hamstring as well. Does that make sense?
What should I do? Go to a PT or have an exercise?
I definitely would.
Yeah, because you want to find out if the patellofemoral problem is secondary to what you had going on in your hamstring, or if it's just a completely different issue. What they're going to do is they're going to compare left to right and your flexibility and your strength and your patellar mobility and all that. So, and then they would devise, as we said at the beginning of the show, a program for your patellofemoral joint that fits your specific scenario.
There you go, Tim. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Adrienne in Sussex up next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, my question is related to some similar problems with patellar pain and knee pain, but my situation is a little different. I had ACL reconstruction about 4 years ago, never had a problem. And in December of 2017, I sustained a small sprain. I went to the orthopedic, and they offered to give me a cortisone shot to help with the swelling. And long story short, from that, I sustained a horrible staph infection that I ended up needing emergency surgery for. I was in the hospital for about 5 days.
Oh, my.
And then they had me, I had a PICC line in my arm, and my husband was doing the round-the-clock treatment for a staph infection. Through that, I had to keep my legs somewhat immobilized. They removed part of the ACL graft. I had a cadaver graft. We thought that we were through the mud with most of the issues, as they thought the infection was clearing up. They said I needed a different procedure to break up the scar tissue.
A manipulation. Right. Yeah.
Yes. And once that was done, started having issues again, and they found that the staph infection actually hid in the portion of the remaining ACL graft. I was back in the hospital again for another emergency surgery.
Oh.
They cleaned everything out. I was in the hospital for another 6 days, and that started the whole process over with all of my treatments. So then it was, I had the machine for moving my knee.
CPM, yes.
Yep.
Yep, I was doing that. I went to therapy, all the stuff. They said I was going to sustain and have a lot of scar tissue because of just the nature of the stress of the leg. It was diagnosed as septic arthritis, and guess I almost died from what they told me. I ended up having an allergy to the medication for the staph infection, and they ended up giving me this stuff for MRSA.
So
after all of that, I'm back to moving, but just not quite normally.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stiffness, and I used to be really active. I run my own pet care business, so I'm with animals all the time, moving, but I really can't do the majority of. I can bend and move, but there's still a lot of stiffness, and I really don't have full range of motion back.
Right.
What can be done to help? I mean, should I go back to PT?
Yep. So I would say yes, go back to PT. And over time, over the course of your lifetime, you're going to go in and out of therapy. I mean, that's kind of what I see for you. As things change, as your body changes, et cetera, you're going to be in and out of therapy for some time. At this point, I would strongly recommend a pool. You know, septic arthritis, you're looking really at your joint surfaces wearing out far more rapidly than the average person. So what you're really looking at now is joint protection and trying to maintain the health of your joint for as long as you can until you undergo a knee replacement. So you're trying to keep a healthy knee. So that means maintain your body weight, which means you're going to need to find a way to exercise. And again, a pool, a bike are probably best for you.
Right.
I would stay away from anything impacting. I wouldn't be running. I would make sure I wore good shoes, ate a healthy diet, all those things to maintain your joint health as optimally as you can.
Yeah, this is a very extensive history, like none I've ever heard. So I think all things considered, I think you're doing a pretty good job of staying ahead of things. This is a challenging situation.
Yeah. Long term. Yep.
You're really looking at wellness at this point of trying to keep yourself as healthy as you can.
Good luck, Adrienne. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, that was a tough one, for sure.
Yes, extensive. Yeah.
We have other callers online, so let's take another call. Jan in Appleton, you're next. Hi, Jan.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a runner doing about 35 miles a week, and I've been doing that for a couple of months. And then this past Saturday, I was on a fairly short 7-mile run, and somehow on my right leg, I developed stiffness, and now that is kind of become more of a pain on the inside of my knee on the right. And just wondered, I have a half marathon to run this coming Sunday, and want to see if I could still do that.
So were you running on a different surface or a banked road versus a flat road, something with a cant? Anything different about this 7-mile run on Sunday, Jan?
No, it was part of the training run that the local running club put
sure.
on, and it goes basically the same type of surfaces.
Okay.
So you said you were running 35 miles a week for about 2 months. What were you doing prior to that?
Running maybe 25 miles
okay.
a week.
Okay. All right. So you did have a base. So this isn't a new activity for you. Because I was going to say 2 months coming up to a half marathon, that's a pretty rapid escalation.
Nope. But yeah. That's very reasonable.
Okay.
And I ran 2 half marathons in the springtime.
Oh, okay. All right.
So he's a...
All right. So
where specifically on the inside of your knee is your pain?
Well, good question.
That's why I asked it. Do you have a good answer?
Oh, he's poking.
Yeah, he's poking.
Tell.
Yep,
I can tell.
I'm sorry. I'm at a Starbucks here. I got to get my card. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's kind of a bump on the side.
Okay.
It's kind of right there.
Right there. I can't see that.
When you touch it, it doesn't hurt, but it's kind of a dull pain.
Okay. And is it more on the inside now or the outside?
Inside.
Okay. Well, things that hurt on the inside, right along your joint line. Do you have any swelling, and can you bend your knee fully?
Well, you're talking about yoga and doing a child's pose, and I did that this morning, and I had difficulty bending the knee.
Yeah, all the way
okay.
back. Yeah.
So
yeah.
could have a little bit. It could have irritated your meniscus just
a
little bit.
Degenerative meniscal tear. Yeah. So I'm familiar with this because, you know, child's pose is currently my nemesis because I was running and then one day I developed pain on the inside of my knee just out of the blue. So and my speculation is it's a little meniscus irritation, maybe a little degeneration of your meniscus or a little arthritis on the inside of your knee, and at some point you just hit the tipping point where it was too much, whether you ran a little harder, your stride was a little longer, your shoes are a little worn out, or
all of the above.
All of the above. Sometimes there's not one thing you can point to. So can he run the mini marathon?
Sure,
yeah,
absolutely.
The world isn't going to come to an end, but thereafter, I would go and I would see a PT and have them look at you. Is it your alignment? Do you need something in your shoes? Are you tight somewhere so that you're having to work really hard to overcome some joint reaction forces? So figure out why this happened to you now so that you know how to intervene. You may have to shorten up your stride. You may have to do some additional stretching or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go, Jan. So you'll be on a running machine probably with the physical therapist looking at you.
Yeah, looking at some gait mechanics, looking at shoe wear, all of that, just to make future recommendations because Jan wants to stay active, which is great.
For sure, yeah. Thanks, Jan. Appreciate it. Mike in Madison, it's your turn next. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I was wondering, I have plantar fasciitis in my left foot, and I have a boot that I wear at night from a prior surgery 15 years ago, and I was at a physical therapist, and I got some strengthening exercises to do for the lower body, but is there something I should be doing to stretch or work it, or, you know, that, to me it seems like strengthening is kind of a preventative thing, but I don't know, maybe it doesn't seem to be doing too much.
So what kind of boot are you wearing?
It's a, it has 3 straps and puts your foot at a 90-degree angle.
Okay, so it just holds at a 90-degree. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, let's see, I've had this since mid-January.
Oh, jeez.
And it was kind of going away, and then it came back.
So do you have any idea what's bringing it back? Why your left foot and not your right foot?
No, I started playing softball again, and running, jogging straight ahead doesn't affect it. Even some sprinting, the bases and stuff. But I think turning, when I started to
on your inside foot,
extra base hits.
Mm-hmm. Also, what position do you play?
I fill in wherever.
Okay, so
other people at their strongest.
Well, I was thinking shortstops and so forth move a lot, side to side. Yep.
So, have you seen a physical therapist for this?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, that's right. He got some strengthening exercises. Yeah. Are you going back to the physical therapist?
Well, it's kind of like a now at a like a 3-4 week.
Okay.
Where I just
check in. Okay, so there's some plantar fascia specific stretches that you can do. I don't know if you're doing those. So if you took your left leg and crossed it over your right knee, and then you grab a hold of your toes and pull them up towards your shin to specifically stretch your plantar fascia. There are some rolling it under a tennis ball. I believe there's dry needling for plantar fascia.
There is dry needling. You can dry needle your quadratus plantae muscle. And there is also something that's available in Madison right now called extracorporeal shockwave therapy, which is... has some evidence behind it for its effectiveness in the treatment of plantar fasciitis. There's just one clinic here in town that has one of the devices. The only other one in the state of Wisconsin is in Milwaukee. So if that's something that you would like to know a little bit more about, just leave your contact information with Jill, our producer, and I can get you that information.
Okay.
That would be an out-of-pocket expense, but it's something out there.
Yeah, so that's another option. Otherwise, it's just the waiting game.
Exactly.
So hang on, and we'll get Stephanie, we'll get to you. And
thank you.
And get your information, and then we can get a hold of you, Mike. So thanks very much for that call. Let's move to Donna in Madison next. Hi, Donna.
Hi. So a couple things. My history is my left knee was unstable. I had a laundry list of things wrong with it, and I got 2 extra years, actually, out of that knee by having very good physical therapy and a trainer who helped get my quads and my hips strong. So I got 2 extra years out of that knee, and I was very grateful. So I believe wholeheartedly in what you're telling us. The other thing is, because that knee replacement was so hard for me, and I do have a heart condition, and I can't really take the pain meds, I am working so hard to keep from having my right knee replaced. And that one is not as bad. I had some meniscus tears and some arthritis. And so the cool thing that I found is, besides the physical therapy, the kinesio tape applied medial to my kneecap going up and down has been very helpful. And I also had some PRP. So right now, my right knee, I'm able to resume intervals. I'm 61. I'm active, but my knees have certainly cramped my style with my physical activity. But now it's been 6 months since I had the PRP. And so now the kinesio tape I'm wearing very, very often. And my concern is there a hazard to me wearing kinesio tape almost every day?
That's a great question, and as long as you're not having any skin breakdown or allergic sensitivity to it, as long as your skin can tolerate it, it's completely fine. Now, having said that, it's very important that you maintain all your exercises and your mobility, and it sounds like you're doing a great job with that. So the tape is in conjunction with a very nice regimented program, but as long as your skin can tolerate it, it's okay.
No problems, Donna. Thank you so much for calling. Taking a look at all kinds of physical therapy issues today with Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum from the University of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at physical therapy issues today with our two guests, Lori Tyne Brody and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in. Open lines at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Dennis in Madison wonders if there's alternative surgery for trigger finger. He's already had two surgeries and just doesn't want to do surgery anymore.
Well, trigger finger is a tough problem to deal with. I'm assuming it is on the same finger and the surgeries have failed. I'm not sure what the situation is there. He said he's had two surgeries, doesn't want to do surgery anymore. So, you know, there are splints you can wear if he hasn't seen a hand therapist to help him, maybe with some specific tools or splints or things like that to help deal with that trigger finger. I would recommend that. I would go to a certified hand therapist. There are both physical therapists and occupational therapists that are certified in hand therapy, and that's who I
really
would see.
Where to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Linda in Eau Claire, we turn to you next. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm calling about my mother, who is 86 years old and recently fractured both femurs.
Oh my, both of them.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yes. And so she is having extreme knee pain, and she's had a knee replacement in the past. In fact, both of them, I believe. And she is just having a hard time with knee pain. One of the things is she has had a hip replacement many years back, which caused her leg to be about an inch shorter. And I'm just wondering if some of this knee pain could be associated with that, too, and if she needs possibly an elevated shoe or, you know, or if you have any other suggestions. She's working with physical therapy now, but the knee pain continues.
Well, so backing up, how did she fracture both of her femurs?
Her legs just gave out and she fell.
Did she fracture above her knee replacements? How far
yes.
up? Okay. So how long has she been walking around with one leg shorter than the other? Do you know when she had her hip done?
I'm guessing 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. Boy, you know, the first thing is figuring out why her legs gave out. So that could be part of the problem with her knees. So if you're just walking along and your knees give out, you need to figure out the cause of that to begin with. So does the leg length difference cause a problem? It's hard to say, but she's been like that for 8 to 10 years. So the surgeons, the hip surgeons generally say, give it 6 months and your legs will even out. Apparently your mother's have not. But at this point, it's been 8 to 10 years. I would worry about overcorrecting that because her body has probably
yeah.
right.
compensated
right.
some for that. So it's a really dicey thing.
Right. I agree, especially with 86 years old. You're always concerned about balance and falls, and throwing off her center of mass and changing that might be put her at greater risk of a fall or some sort of injury. You're changing the load.
Right. I would work closely with her physical therapist and have that conversation with her physical therapist. And while your mother is in physical therapy, she can try some lifts in her shoes and see how it feels to your mom. She can observe her gait and how she moves with that. She can get a sense if your mother says, oh, that feels great, or no, that feels really bad. So it's certainly a conversation you can have with the physical therapist who's treating her. But I would want to know why it is that her knees or her legs
yeah.
just gave out.
Right.
Because that, to me, that's more concerning than the knee pain itself.
Right. I think weakness, and mm-hmm. that may be why she's still having some residual knee pain, is if her quadriceps
yes.
need to get a little stronger.
Yep.
So perhaps
yeah.
with that, the knee pain would subside.
Yeah. yeah. But you're right. With the hip replacements, they frequently end up with a leg length difference,
mm-hmm.
and the surgeons tell us you have to wait 6 months to see if they work themselves out. My question is always, well, how do they work themselves
right.
out? Where does that go? Is it
right.
because they've compensated in their pelvis or their low back? I'm never quite get an answer to that question.
Yeah.
Mm. Linda, good luck. Thank you for calling. And let's move to Robin in Marathon next. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I don't have a question on knee, but I have a question on my foot.
Okay.
When I worked at a window company, we were taking material down on a cart And the lady that was in front of the cart, she was supposed to maneuver the cart and I'll follow behind. Well, she didn't tell me she was leaving go of the cart.
Oh, oh dear.
Yeah. So I tried to grab the cart and I pulled it, but it landed on my foot. And when they took x-rays, they said nothing was broken. But ever since then, I've gotten a lot of pain where your little toe goes in.
Mm-hmm.
There's in that bone part. I get a lot of pain if I don't use a shoe and tie it really tight. I get a very stiff foot the next day. And I was wondering if there was anything to be done. I had asked my doctor, and she told me about fissures and arthritis that's now in the foot.
Fissures.
Right, right.
Fissures.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's at the at your little toe, like where your toe meets your foot, or farther back and on the little toe side in the in your midfoot?
It's kind of in your midfoot, where your little toe, if you go halfway down your little toe.
Yeah.
Like a fifth metatarsal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they take new x-rays recently?
No, they didn't do anything.
I wonder if there's an old fifth metatarsal fracture there.
That could be, or the joint of Liz Frank. That joint,
the
that
Frank,
the,
yeah.
the joint that where that bone comes into your in your midfoot has to undergo a lot of rotation every time you take a step. And when you said that you need a shoe laced up really tight, I'm wondering if she needs a little stability mm-hmm. there, if she's mm-hmm. a little unstable. That was my
sense.
Thought.
Yep, yeah, that makes sense,
so
too.
So I'm wondering if just when you sustained that injury, if you irritated, stretched,
sprained,
partially tore, yeah. sprained some ligaments that really holds your midfoot joint together there, and that's why wearing kind of really supported, tight, laced-up shoes mm-hmm. helps.
Yeah. So I would see a physical therapist, particularly someone who specializes in foot and ankle, and have them take a look at your foot and examine that midfoot joint, and perhaps a stiff orthotic or something like that would help you. Because if you are developing arthritis, and I don't know if they can tell if they haven't taken new x-rays, maybe they're just assuming it's arthritis, but you really want to slow that progression. And so that means you really want to support those joints that are under a lot of load. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck. Thanks, Robin. Appreciate the call. And Tom in Nelson, Wisconsin. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Hey, guys, it's time for rotator cuff.
All right. Oh, our day is complete. We've had plantar fasciitis and rotator cuff. Excellent. You go.
Okay. I injured my tendons in the shoulders about, this is back in March. Went to the doctor, physical therapy, was cleared for physical therapy in June. And doing work on the car, a lot of replacements, stretching and reaching around corners.
Right. Awkward lifting.
And, yeah, popped my shoulders out again. And now it just feels like, man, every night, shoulders pop in and out, get the nerve pain, you know, and so on and so forth.
Tell us
and
what
I don't want to go back to therapy again.
Tell us what you mean by your shoulders popping in and out. What does that mean?
Well,
when you can you describe that?
It almost feels like just go out of joint. And if I put my hand straight up and or behind my head like this, it kind of like, okay, the shoulder's back in again and it feels all right. But otherwise it just feels like, oh, there's...
It's popping out of joint, it feels
there.
Like. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boy. So... You know, I don't want to go back to physical therapy. Well, let's just start with you're talking to two physical therapists. So, we're wondering if you have some underlying hypermobility that is predisposing you to this rotator cuff problem, because typically your shoulders shouldn't feel like they're sliding or popping in and out of joint. That's not a typical rotator cuff kind of complaint.
Right.
So rotator cuffs give you pain. They give you deep toothache pain.
And night pain, which you did mention.
Pain, yeah, which could mention, but it could also be a subluxation where it's...
Right. So yeah. The question is he overusing his cuff during the day and then he's getting that night pain because he has some underlying hypermobility?
Hypermobility, yeah. So I'm sorry to say, Tom, but really you need to
go
back to PT and have them take a look at it. And the question is, do you have underlying hypermobility that's causing your rotator cuff to have to work double duty? And if that's the case, then you need to talk about how you do things like work on your car and lift
right.
things while protecting your shoulder. Otherwise, you're going to be on the revolving door of physical therapy.
Right. So it sounds like, you know, you were past PT, you were graduated from physical therapy, but yet you found a hobby or a leisure activity that exacerbates you. So now you can go back and say, hey, I was doing great, except we forgot to talk about this. And can you tweak it, change it, modify, fine tune it? And with your experience with doing your exercises, it shouldn't be a lot of PT visits mm-hmm. as much as giving you some instructions for things at home.
And you should mention hypermobility to
well,
the...
Well, I would yeah. throw that out, or I would show the PT what you mean by when
yes.
you say your shoulders are popping out and mm-hmm. see exactly what that looks like. That would be very helpful for
yep.
your therapist.
Yeah.
Good luck, Tom. Thanks for calling. William has some stiffness in his quads. He's 68. Whenever he gets up after sitting in a chair, can a physical therapist help him, or is this something older folks have to bear?
Oh, well, 68 isn't old, first yeah. of all.
No.
No. So it's a great question, and the million-dollar question is the stiffness in his knee joints, or is it truly in his quadricep muscles? Is there a flexibility or a stretch-type exercise that he could perform at home to fix this? I don't think it's something he should just have to bear.
No, absolutely. No, that's not normal.
Right.
So I would find out why it is that way. A couple visits to a physical therapist should help him be able to sort that out and give him some things to do at home to help with that.
And there you go, William. Good luck. Thank you so much for that question. And thanks for listening. Our guests will be with us right up till 12:30 today. Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist, athletic trainer, and Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program, both at the University of Wisconsin. We'll take a look at the news, weather, and then we'll be back. You stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW, Jill Tyne Nissenbaum, associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW as well. As we talk with them about physical therapy kinds of issues that you may have, great to have you listening in. Our lines are all filled, so I think we'll just go right to the phones. And Dale in Hayward up first. Hi, Dale.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I've been active. I'm 61 years old, and I've been active cyclist and runner for years. In 2009, I had a meniscus tear. Never really healed. And to make a long story short, in about a five-year period, my knees just really, both knees, actually, I had the meniscus on my right knee, and now my left knee is worse, to the point where I just can't enjoy cycling, especially, anymore, just because it hurts. Been to an ortho doc, did x-rays, and basically not a candidate for any kind of knee replacement, at least at this point, and... did some shots and all that, and that helped temporarily, but nobody's ever recommended physical therapy to me. Instead, they're just recommending ibuprofen, which I take about 400 to 800 milligrams a day, you know, in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that does help. I mean, I can function. Without it, I really am to the point where there's just no quality of life, even sleeping. I have a lot of pain. And basically, they told us, from what I understand, I got arthritis, maybe some spurs in there. So I guess I'm asking you, should I consider physical therapy? Is it something that I can work on? I do a lot of stretching and exercises, quad sets, and all that seems to help. But I'd like to quit taking the ibuprofen.
Right, yeah.
Very short, you know?
Sure. Were the injections that you received, was that like Synvisc or was it a...
cortisone?
Hyaluronic acid injection or a cortisone injection?
Started with cortisone, which was just, it was just like, wow, I'm cured.
Oh, yeah.
It lasted maybe 6 weeks.
Yep.
And then I did do Euflexa, which
okay.
I think
yep.
is another
yep.
version of Synvisc.
Yes,
that
correct.
That did almost nothing.
Okay. Oh, interesting. That was Larry's savior.
Yeah, Synvisc is my savior.
Yeah. You know, it really depends upon the individual.
Correct.
So it's one of those things where there's no one size fits all where, you know, patient A says, oh, I had Synvisc and it was the best thing ever. And patient B says it didn't work for me at all. It's like epidural injections. Some people have an epidural and they're great for 2 years and someone else has an epidural and does nothing. So so it really depends. So
but it's good that you exhausted those things.
Oh, it is. But to the question of should you go to physical therapy, again, I'd like to remind our listeners that you're talking to two physical therapists. So.
I'm gonna tell you right now, Dale, that you had mentioned you were doing some quadriceps sets and you thought they made you feel better. I can tell you from your background, you need more load than that. You need to strengthen your quadriceps and you're going to need to do more than quad sets. If you're an avid biker and we're a runner, you need more load than that. So the answer to you is yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You need the direction of a physical therapist. You're in the state of Wisconsin. I don't know what your insurance is, but you can go directly to a physical therapist without a doctor's referral. The question is whether or not it's covered by your insurance, and it varies from carrier to carrier. So in the Madison area, most of the insurances or the managed care programs allow you to go to a PT directly.
Isn't Howard Young up by you?
Yeah. Howard Young is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely go to a physical therapist. You're too young to be giving up on this.
Yeah,
stop
for sure.
Laughing. My sister's laughing at me.
Because I know your age and I know her age.
Yeah, exactly. So you're too young to give up on this. And you may still be able to cycle. You may need some modifications. You may need a different kind of bike. You may need a different setup. But you're way too young to say, oh, this is all there is.
Agreed.
So absolutely go see a physical therapist.
And good luck. And let us know how that turns out. It comes about a year from now. I'd love to hear from you, Dale.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Jim in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Larry?
Good. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Appreciate the call. And I love Lori and Jill when they're on your show. They're always so helpful.
Oh, thanks.
I wanted to just comment about the previous caller. I've had shoulder problems. I've got rotator cuff calcification in one of them and then bursitis in the other. And I would get the cortisone injections and every 6 months, I think. And I am now fine. I don't know what happened, but for a year now, I haven't had any trouble. So just wanted to let them know that that is really a good alternative if nothing else works.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to my problem. Okay, I have COPD. I can't exercise. I'm on oxygen all the time. And I used to be very physically fit. I was always very active. Even when I wasn't exercising, the way that I went through life was pretty much, you know, pretty intense, very much physical movement, et cetera. The other day, I'll tell you also, I used to live in an apartment where I felt like I turned into veal because it was just one floor and I didn't do much of anything. Now I have a house. The stairs are a bit difficult to navigate. But my worst problem that's happened is that when I went to put a plant on the ground, I sort of crouched down and then I fell because my knees did not support me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is if there are exercises I can do at home to strengthen that without, you know, going through any sort of risk. The other problem that I have is that when I have been to a physical therapy place, I tend to get sick from germs, and then that exacerbates my COPD.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if you've ever heard of physical therapists that ever come into the home.
Yes, it's called home health. Sure.
I'm 62 years old. I feel like I'm about 80 physically, to be quite honest. And I know I could feel better if I could get something. I don't know quite what the answer is. And I know that you two ladies will have some sort of answer for me.
Well, okay. Jim, thank you so much for calling. And you're in the Wausau area.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are certainly good physical therapy clinics there. So I'm not sure about the germs. Do you go out to other places? Because typically,
you know, I tend to get sick a lot.
Okay.
When I
all
go
right.
out.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much homebound. I've got a great house. I've
okay.
got a great garden, all that. I'm very happier.
Okay.
I've been
so
all over the world. I've done all sorts of stuff. So
in answer to your question, if there are physical therapists who come into your home, yes, there are. It's called home health. And the question of whether or not that home health service is paid for depends upon your insurance. So you have to, quote unquote, qualify for home health care, and that means that you are not able to get out. Now, you may have circumstances that don't allow you to get out, even though you could physically actually probably get into a car and go out somewhere, but the getting sick and the germ issue may be an extenuating circumstance. You'd have to check with your insurance to see if they would pay for a couple of home health visits. And there are certainly things that you can do at home to help strengthen your legs. So I would start with that and see if you could get physical therapy services in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Good luck, Jim. Thank you so much for calling. Let's take another call. Heidi in Madison, your turn. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Appreciate the call.
Well, thank you for taking it. My problem started about 3 weeks ago. I went to my daughter's basic training graduation. I was wearing a wedge shoe, had to walk across some gravel. As I was doing that, my ankle kind of gave way. Just nothing major. Didn't really, it didn't hurt or anything. But later that day or that evening, my inside of my knee, just below the kneecap, started hurting, and it got progressively worse. Well, when I came back, I went to urgent care, had it x-rayed. There was nothing really wrong. They said my knee was very stable, and were kind of confused as to why I was even there. And they said, just, it's probably swollen. Give it some time. It'll go away. For a week, it slowly went away, and then for a week it was gone, and now this last week it's been coming back, and in particular when I walk downstairs, but it's not next to the kneecap, but just lower into the inside, and I'm just not sure whether, is it a PT thing, or should I be seeing an orthopedic doctor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I would probably start with physical therapy. So when you twisted your knee, a number of things happen. You can sprain the joint capsule. You can aggravate some underlying arthritis, either at your tibiofemoral joint, your big knee joint, or under your kneecap. So it may not be on the kneecap itself, but on the femoral side, on the femur side, that's giving you some trouble. So the going downstairs is one of those classic symptoms of patellofemoral pain. So seeing a PT to figure out exactly what tissue is giving you trouble and then designing a program for that would be the order of the day.
Right. Exactly. And some good strengthening exercises and flexibility. It can probably be do something that you could do at home.
Yeah.
All right. There you go, Heidi. Thank you. Kay in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Kay.
I had, first of all, thank you, Lori and Jill. You're great. I always learn at least one thing.
Oh, good.
When I listen to you. My problem is pain, and it's in below my great toe in my metatarsal. I've been wearing flip-flops most of the summer, putting hard inserts in my shoes, which I got prior to my knee surgery a number of years ago. And then that set off the pain in the metatarsal. I went to the podiatrist, and they took x-rays, and they said it was osteoarthritis. And she gave me a band for around my foot and also soft inserts. I tried that. It did nothing. And then she put me on cortisone for 6 days. That was great when I was on it. And then it was back. And so now I like to walk. I like to walk. And if I walk any distance, I can navigate pretty good. But if I walk any distance, it just aches. And I did have on that foot a bunionectomy a number of years ago. And that doesn't really bother me. It's below that. And I'm wondering if I need a cortisone injection or PT with cold leaves, or what is in my forecast.
Okay, Kay.
Yeah.
Well, we like that you like to keep walking and be active, and it sounds like this flared up when you had your total knee replacement, which means my best guess is if she lost some knee range of motion, she was trying to increase at her toe. So I think shoe wear is probably going to be a really important thing for you to consider.
Yeah, the flip-flops were probably not great.
Right. I would go with a rocker bottom sole.
A rocker bottom sole, yeah. I would see a PT, particularly somebody who specializes in foot and ankle. So you had a bunionectomy. So my guess is that you are already flat-footed.
Yes.
You're rolling off the inside of your foot, and you've lost motion at your first metatarsal flat. MTP joint, but a tarsophalangeal joint. So it's a big mechanical issue. Right. There are probably several factors that need to be dealt with. And so I would go to a PT who specializes in foot and ankle and have them work with you and try different things, different shoes. You could try your rocker bottom, different inserts, maybe some different taping, some mobilization at that first MTP joint and see if they can find any more motion there for you. So a number of different strategies to take, but you need someone on a regular basis to kind of work through the different options.
Especially with your history of a bunionectomy on that side and a total knee replacement on that side, that's going to complicate things. So, yeah, I definitely see a PT because we want to keep you active.
Yep.
Good luck, Kate. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Steve emailed to say he's been getting lower mid-back pain while driving. He's 31 years old, drives a lot for work. No previous back injuries, in good shape. When he's not driving, his job requires him to physically exert himself, from lifting heavy objects to swinging a hammer, maybe using a handsaw and so forth. But the only thing that seems to bother his back is driving. He's even tried different vehicles, adjusted the seats. Any suggestions there?
Well, I would probably start was seeing a PT to see what the cause is. So, you know, he's tried different modifications, and typically we start with that, bringing the seat closer, bringing the seat higher so that you don't stretch your sciatic nerve so far. And it sounds like he's tried different things, you know, stopping and getting out on a regular basis.
A lumbar roll, maybe he needs to be in a little bit more extension. And the question is, what struck me about this is if he's operating some heavy equipment, is he in a big truck and is it vibration?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not mentioned. I don't know if it's driving every vehicle.
He says vehicles.
So I don't know if it's every vehicle or a specific vehicle where vibration
sounds
might
like
be a factor.
Sounds like it always works.
Yeah.
Is a problem.
Yeah. And then I wonder if he is driving somewhere, then getting out and doing this physical work and then getting back in the car and driving again. He doesn't notice what's going on in his back while he's moving
active
and being active, but as soon as he stops, then the pain comes on. So I'd probably sit down with a PT and process these different issues to see what jumps out or declares itself in that conversation. It could be any of a number of factors that need to be sorted out.
Peggy in Darlington, it's your turn. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I know that I have severe osteoarthritis of my right knee, but I don't have a recent x-ray except when I had my left knee, and they kind of do both at once, but they didn't report specifically in the report on that. And I know that the doctor had said there was a problem with the patella being out of alignment. And so I thought, no, I'm having problems with my right knee. I've been doing a lot of work on my home, including going up and down ladders, up and down, moving around quite a bit. And last week, after doing that during the day, the next morning, I could not bend my right knee.
Right. Just overdid it.
I couldn't put weight on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was swollen above the kneecap, you know.
Yep.
And so I thought, well, I'll go and get an injection. And I actually made an appointment for it, and it's tomorrow. But then I started wondering, listening to your program, if I should do the injection, because I started wondering, that's an odd place. They usually put it in the compartment of the knee.
Right, they usually put it in the joint itself. And your swelling is in your suprapatellar pouch, which is kind of connected.
Right.
But
would you suggest I go ahead with the injection and follow up with physical therapy, or try physical therapy first, or
how debilitating is your knee today?
It's not as bad, but it's also bad in driving. And mm-hmm. I was driving yesterday, and I get pain on the outer part of my knee.
Right. So, you know, you only want to have so many injections in your knee. So we usually tell people to reserve the injections for when they're really bad and your symptoms are bad and they're really impacting your quality of life. If you have not been to physical therapy, you could give that a try, and you can always get the injection at a later date if things are not going the direction you want to get them. That being said, sometimes it's hard to get traction with therapy when you're having a lot of pain and a right. lot of swelling. So sometimes the injection will jump start your therapy. So not seeing you, it's a hard question for us to answer.
We're kind of on the fence.
We're on the fence.
So, yeah.
That doesn't help, does
it? But I would definitely, Peggy, even if you get the injection, schedule a physical therapy appointment. So you need to get stronger and things like that. So I don't know that this is one or the other. It might be a combination thereof, but I would strongly encourage you to see a physical therapist.
Right. And the problem being, someone gets a cortisone injection, and like several of our previous callers, they just said, wow, this is fantastic. And so then they decide not to go to therapy,
correct.
But 6 weeks later, symptoms are back.
Exactly.
So the idea is to use that window of time to jumpstart your therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go, Peggy. Thank you so much. And Kim and Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Kim.
Hello. Thank you for the program. I'll get right to it. I had meniscal knee surgery probably 20, 30 years ago on my left knee, 50% meniscus gone, medial, lateral on the other knee. I don't remember how much percentage. At this point, being a letter carrier for 33 years, ended up, I went in and said knee pain. They did x-rays and they said I have swept knees and I'm bone on bone with both. He gave me 4 years for knee replacements. I've already had injections of cortisone in both knees. And the left knee is more bothersome than the right. What should I do?
Oh, what should you do? Have you been to therapy at all?
I have not.
Okay, well, that would be our next step. And you know, you're a good case here, Kim, because you say, well, I walk all day. I'm a letter carrier, so I walk all day. I'm getting a lot of exercise, but you're getting the same exercise over and over. So we need to focus on the muscle groups that that are weaker and do some strengthening. And you'd be a great candidate to do some strengthening exercises in water
right.
where you don't have all the compressive loads
right.
on your joints. So you are compressing your joints in a gravity environment
all day long.
So unweighting them to take some of the weight off of your knees and then moving for lubrication and stretching and some strengthening exercises using bands or other resistive equipment that can be done in the pool would be a great place for you.
Mm-hmm.
You want to delay that knee replacement as long as you can.
And it sounded like the doctor said 4 years mm-hmm. out.
Right.
Yep.
Maybe
so,
you could even make it longer.
Exactly. Yep.
The longer you can push it out and delay it, the better off you'll be.
And good luck, and thank you very much for calling, Kim. Appreciate your call. And on that note, here we are, out of time. You guys are going to be back on October 21st.
Sounds great. Yeah.
We'll do it all over again.
Absolutely. We'll be here.
All right. Thank you so much. Lori Tynebrody, physical therapist, athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. Jill Tynenissenbaum, associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. They'll be back on October 21st. Tomorrow, Bassam Shakashiri is back with us to talk about science and education. Then at 11:45, we'll take a look at personal finance, things like budgeting and credit scores and reports, dealing with collection agencies maybe. So I hope you can join us for that. But in the meantime, there's lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. So stay with us right through the afternoon. I'm Larry Mueller.